in the last little while, when I was teaching through the book of Acts, I came up to this idea of we need to use that little, what do you call it, not an acrostic. Well, it's sort of like an acrostic, WWJD. And what it means is, what would Jesus do? And people used to wear it on their arms. And it came out of that book called In His Steps. It's an old novel from a long time ago. And then CFO leader Glenn Clark wrote a novel. He was actually a creative writing teacher as well as a coach, but he became the founder of Camps Farthest Out. And he wrote a book called, he actually got permission from Charles Sheldon and said, can I write a book that's a sequel to yours that sort of like brings it up to date? And he wrote a book and he entitled it, What Would Jesus Do? Well, that is good. WWJD reminds us that we're to live by his example, by Christ's example. And yet, this is something else I came up with, and it was in preaching the book of Acts, through the book of Acts. Jesus is working in us all the time, and he's working through us. And so the question really should be, what will Jesus do? What is he going to do in my life today? And both those questions are answered in John chapter 5 of this passage. What he would do is to listen to his Father. And what he will do is to follow what his Father shows him. And it's like, so he that's what he says in this passage. But those two things actually extend this meaning. And I gave this a little while ago for you that haven't heard it. It was in one of the sermons on the book of Acts. It extends the meaning of WWJD to follow him in listening to the Father and in seeing what the Father shows him. What we must do is WWJD, and that is watch what Jesus does. Because that's what he was doing. He was watching his Father. We need to watch what Jesus does. Jesus calls us to follow him the way he follows his Father. And he hints about this in John chapter 10 verse 27, where I've repeated this one a lot lately too. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So they listen and they follow. And he got even more specific and more clear when he was speaking to his disciples after his resurrection in John 20 verse 21 and 22. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, because it was the Holy Spirit through which Jesus did his ministry. He followed his Father's voice as he heard it through the Spirit. So how Jesus followed his Father shows us how to be like Jesus. If we want to be like Jesus, we're going to have to follow what he did. And he listened to his Father. He was motivated not by his own will, but by what his Father showed him. In other words, God's personally revealed will. You know, it's sometimes we see that in Scripture for ourselves, that sometimes he speaks to us. And we know what we have to do because he's convicting us through the Holy Spirit. So by doing all of this, Jesus embodied the proper human dependence on God. He exemplified it in his life. He embodied this proper human dependence on God. In verse 19, we'll read it one more time. We've read it a lot. But I tell you the truth. He always wants to emphasize, he'll say, verily, verily, or I tell you the truth. So he's emphasizing this. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So did Jesus do his miracles, his healings, his signs of wonder, his many works of wonder? Did he do those by his own divine power? Well, he denies that in this verse. And he goes on in the next verse to describe his unique work as the Messiah, as a human Messiah. He came to be our Messiah, but a human Messiah. We really have to think about that. The Messiah, the Christ, was a human. And we got to remember that as we especially look at this passage. And he talked about him being his unique work as the Messiah. He talked about that in terms of his relational dependence on his Father. A relationship dependence. Not just a mechanical, oh yeah, I got it. I got the message. Okay, now I'm going to do it. No, it was a relational dependence on his Father in verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show you even greater things than these. Now, isn't there another passage somewhere in John where it says, greater things shall you do because I'm going to the Father? Yeah, he said that to the disciples. And so, yes, he wants us to do this same very thing that he's showing us how to do. Okay, so we think about the incarnation and I'm actually trying to write something about that right now. I've come to a chapter in a book I'm trying to write, and it's going to take me a long time to write it. But this one chapter's on the incarnation, and it's like really, really, really hard to talk about, because the creator of the universe becoming a human being, we don't really think about that too much. It's almost incomprehensible if you think about it. It's a total mystery. The second person of the Trinity really became a human Messiah that would walk around, could stub his toe and hit himself with a hammer and ouch, that hurts. Yes, he became a human being. And while he never ceased being God, he never stopped being God. That's what who his person really was. But he lived his life out as a human. He did his ministry never with the power of his own deity. He never did it that way. He showed us what to do. He showed us how we're supposed to follow him. So each facet of his special ministry, because it was a special ministry that he had as the Messiah, each facet, each part of his special incarnate ministry as the divine Son of God was totally accomplished as an embodied human, the Son of Man. That's what he liked to call himself. I am the Son of Man. So he was the Son of God. He never stopped being the Son of God. But he became the Son of Man. And that's how he did his ministry. So in verse 21, this begins this long list that we've read through. In verse 21, he follows his Father in raising the dead. And of course, he did raise the dead, but he also said something else. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. You see, he was going to give us raising from the dead, being resurrected. He was going to give that through his own resurrection. His was the initial resurrection that we're all going to follow him in that at some point. But he said that, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And then in the next verses, 22 through 23, he says, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. But that honor that they're giving to the Son is not as God. We're honoring him as God. We're actually honoring him because of his position as a human being and what he's accomplishing. He's doing the Father's will. He did it all as a human being. And in verse 27, he says, the Father has given him authority to judge. Why did the Father give it? Because he is the Son of Man. Because he is a human being, that God committed judgment to him. And, you know, it's because him being a human being that God gave this ministry to him. And judgment's not our ministry, but it is his. And so he's following the Father's will in it. And then it goes on. In verse 24 and 20 through 29, he does carry out the resurrection. He says he's going to carry out the resurrection and this judgment. But his central focus is eternal life. His central focus is eternal life that he gives to believers, those who will believe in him. Now, as the Son of God, you think about this. Did he, as the Son of God, have life in himself? Yes, he did. He had a life in himself eternally. So what happened here? When he became Son of Man, then even though he already had this divine life as Son of God, he was given this eternal life to pass on as the Son of Man. The Father granted him, it says. So the Father granted him something, wait, not something that he had all along? No. He granted it in a new way to the Messiah, the one who was the human king that was coming. They all looked forward to it. They knew it was going to be a man, but God gave him life so that he could transfer it to us, other human beings. He granted him to have life in himself. And how did he do that? As the Son of Man. Getting this into our minds is hard sometimes, but this is what the Scriptures really teach about Jesus. His human body's death for sins and his bodily rising again. We hear so much about his human body. Dying on the cross, but also rising from death. It speaks so much, and I could do a whole bunch of other scriptures about where his body comes in this. He did this through a human body. That gave him this jurisdiction over salvation. And I'm going to read it because you know this verse already, but 1 Timothy 2:5 says this, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, the human being, Christ Jesus." That's where our salvation comes from, and that's why he relates to us so closely. Human sin gave us death. God's Son became human to save us from death. Our first parents showed us how to turn away from God's will and disobey it, you know. But he came to show us how to pay attention to God's will and to do it. As a human prophet, priest, and king, we often think of him as the glorious God who is prophet, priest, and king now. He's a human prophet, priest, and king. And in his humanity and his death on the cross and his resurrection life that's in him, he has restored to humanity the prophetic, the priestly, and the governing destiny of creation. And that's a biggie if you think about it. We're supposed to be prophets, priests, and kings? Yes, like Jesus. He's given us that back again. That was supposed to be our initial career, and we lost it. And as a human servant, directed by his Father, Jesus not only paid for that restoration that's supposed to happen, but he told us to live as he did. He told us to live as he did, calling us to follow him the way he followed his Father. So Jesus surrendered his will, his self-will. If you could say, he's a human being. He has a human spirit, a human soul, a human body. And he has a will. And he surrendered his self-will to his Father's will, to God's will. And in verse 30 it says, "By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear. And my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." This is his example to us. Now, if we're really truly honest about human self-realization, you say, well, you need to realize who you are, your self-realization. The biggie is being able to recognize that by myself, I can do nothing. And we say, well, no, we can do everything by ourselves. Well, first of all, I don't know if you've ever seen this picture. It's a beautiful picture of the self-made man. It's a marble column about up to here. And then there's a guy with a hammer and a chisel, and he's making himself. He's chiseling himself out of marble. That's the self-made man. Why is that a joke? It's sort of a joke, but why is it a joke? It's because we didn't get here by ourselves. Everybody got here through a womb, I think. I think so. And then we don't survive here without some help. Natural and social resources keep us alive here on this planet. So no, we don't do anything by our real selves. And that's a big part of self-realization. But as God's image bearers, now that's a different story. We bear the image of God, and that's a calling, that's a ministry, that's a task. And in that image bearing, none of us can find our true purpose in life without discovering and following our Maker's will, the one who fashioned us to be in this image, in His image, to behave like Him, to represent Him, to work for Him down here and serve Him, and to be close to Him in fellowship. And as a loving Creator, because He's so loving, He is always a clear communicator. I mean, we have His Word. I mean, He's spoken to us. He's spoken to us in nature, beautifully spoken to us in nature. He shows how orderly everything is in nature. He's a very orderly God. He communicates. He gives us logic in our minds so that we can look at this natural world of logical, dependable laws, and where we can use those laws so that we can survive on this planet, but also thrive. I mean, right now in this culture, we're thriving pretty much compared to 150 years ago, if you call the internet a part of our thriving. There's a lot of things, automobiles, so many ways that we thrive because of the logic God has given to us and helped us in this world to understand things and use those laws. He spoke by the prophets. He's gotten His Word written down for us. But finally, He became one of us. He became a human being to teach us from human lips and to die in a human body to ransom us from death. And then He set up an ongoing communication system through the Holy Spirit that He's caused to indwell every single believer. So we have that. It's like, but I don't have a radio. Yes, you do. You have a two-way radio inside of you. And the power of the connection is the Holy Spirit. And we just need to be on His wavelength. So He became one of us to indwell us. And so the Holy Spirit brings Him in. He is our internal Lord. And He has a voice. He has a voice. So this was His pattern. This was His pattern and His example for us on earth. John 14:10 says a little bit the same thing. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing His work. And we have that same kind of relationship. The Scriptures talks of us as Christians being in Christ and Christ in us. That was the relationship He had with His Father. And that's the relationship we have with Him. And this is why He said, I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but Him who sent me. He had surrendered His will to His Father's will. And we see this in the Gospel of John more than the other Gospels. John's Gospel, especially this passage, really spells it out with clarity, that Jesus totally depended on His Father for the work He was sent here to accomplish. And in doing that work, He watched His Father, what His Father showed Him, and He listened to and followed what His Father said. Now, Jesus would have never said to us, follow me, if we couldn't do it. He really meant it when He said, follow me. And we can do it. We really can, because we do have the same Spirit that He had within Him. So He calls us to follow Him the way He followed His Father. And remember, the word ministry, it's not a fancy word. It means serving. It means service. A minister is a servant. That's what ministers are supposed to be. They're supposed to be servants. So Is there anybody here not called to serve? We're all called to serve, aren't we? We're all called to serve in every in whatever capacity God has for us. And the same Holy Spirit who empowered Jesus and led Him is the same Holy Spirit that leads and empowers us in our unique callings to ministry, callings to serve, wherever He places and in whatever way He plans for us. And the thing is, when we really think about it, this requires, what it requires of us is not that we work harder. Oh, I was really strained to get this done. No, that's not it. It's just saying, I come to do Your will, O God. Here You've given a body for me. That's what Jesus said in the Psalms. I come to do Your will, O God, with this body. That's us. We have to say the same thing to God. I come to do Your will with this body that You've given me. And it requires this response from us. Not my will, but Yours be done. Do you see how Jesus was the example of this whole thing for us? To do the will of God. So how to be like Jesus? How to be like Jesus? It means spending time listening for His voice, as He did for His Father's voice. It means cultivating an attitude of inner spiritual alertness. Like, we just can't go through our day without turning our minds to God and saying, you know, like, Brother Lawrence wrote a book, Practicing the Presence of God, all day long. That's how we really should be. And when we do that, it just becomes so natural for us to think and oh, God, there's a neighbor. Should I go over and pray? Yeah, you want me to go over and pray for them? Sure, I'll go over and pray for them. Or just go say hi and see how they're doing. You know, they need somebody to see a smile. I'll give them one. You know, and we have to be obedient like that if we want to follow Jesus, because He may have us doing things we aren't used to doing sometimes, but He won't give us something that He doesn't empower us to do. So His practice of watching to see what His Father was doing so that He could do the same thing, this is to be like Jesus. This is to be like Jesus. Now, we may be unpracticed in this kind of spiritual listening and seeing with our inner eyes, but that's our birthright as children of God. And we say, can I really follow Him? He wouldn't have told us, follow me, if we couldn't do it. It's our spiritual birthright. And He's called us to do both of these things, to listen and to see with the inner eyes that He's given us. So as individual believers and as a congregation or as a fellowship of Christ followers, that's what we need to be. We believe in Him and we follow Him. We are Christ followers. Let's prayerfully seek this. And just do it on a daily basis. Say, Lord, what are we doing today? What are we doing today? I want to watch and see what You do. So show me, speak to me, let's work together. Because that's what the kingdom of God is about. It's about Him being the King and us following His lead. And He had this habitual attentiveness to His Father. It was an habitual tennis. That's what we need to pray, that we get in the habit of WWJD, watching what Jesus does in our lives and what He wants us, because He's showing us so that we can do it, of listening to His voice, of following Him in whatever He shows us to do or whatever we hear from Him to say. I hope you can get that concept. Let's pray that we all get it. Father God, thank You so much for this passage. And Lord, we want to be like You. We want to follow You. So we ask, Lord, that You help us to be attentive and on a daily basis and throughout the day, turn in our minds to Your presence within us for whatever we're doing, and help us to live this kingdom life of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.